All right, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
And this is from the call center himself, Tony the Tornado Pennycat.
And Psychic Tom Padgett.
And we're coming at you with another edition of the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot of stuff going on in both combat sports worlds. A lot of big names talking some crazy stuff. Boxing news, the biggest news this week is in the biggest division, heavyweights. Apparently, Mr. Tyson Fury has gone a little off the deep end and told testers to fuck off. Not my words, his words. There's some steroid allegations, as well as reports that he is very depressed and may not ever fight again, period. Never mind rematch Klitschko. And this happened right after Tom sent me a link that Freddie Roach thinks that Vladimir's getting too old.
Yeah.
But at least he's sane. So we think. So I don't know what's going on over there in the UK or how they're going to sort all this out, but it appears that he could face up to a 4-year ban from the sport if it does come out that he dodged the test officially. And supposedly they said they tried to renegotiate or reschedule or whatever this test, and then all of a sudden Tyson Fury's camp came out and had a press conference and said, hey, Tyson is medically unfit to fight, but they wouldn't explain it. So,
it's all kinds of shit.
Yeah, all kinds of hogwash going on over there. We don't know what the real story is. Crazy.
Yeah, I would miss him, though. I mean, he has shook things up. And bottom line, this is an entertainment business.
Right. Yeah, and then we have UFC 205 to talk about. We had a couple big names added to that roster. Talked about last week how Al Iaquinta had a lot of bad stuff to say about wanting to fight in New York, but not wanting to fight at what he was going to be offered. With no possibility of getting a bonus. Now we've got Conor McGregor facing Eddie Alvarez in the main event. Not sure if there's a title on the line there or what's going on or what happened there. But Conor comes in at 20-3. Eddie comes in at 28-4. And Eddie, does he have the title now, Eddie? What's going on? I don't even know. Yeah, Eddie. Okay, so Eddie's got the title. I don't know if Conor's fighting for that title or what's going on.
Yes.
But all I know is that Jose Aldo is wicked pissed. And last week it was Al Iaquinta. This week it's Jose Aldo basically saying he doesn't want to fight anymore. He's talking about retiring. Requested a release from his contract, and this is an exact quote from him, according to a Brazilian website. Jose says, Conor himself, page it down. Alright. One more second. Come on. Which way is up? Alright. Anyway, this is what he says about Dana White. If White likes me and my family, I just hope he released me. I don't want to fight. I want to leave as I came in. The UFC and WEC didn't give me anything. Everything I conquered was my merit and from my team. Nobody gave me anything. I conquered everything, and I gave them a lot more than they gave me back. I just want them to release me from my contract. I'm not a whore to sell myself for money. I don't even want to fight MMA, he says. I want to follow a career in another sport. That's what I want. Right. A lot of people are getting deep and coming to a crossroads here with this situation. And,
well, I think Aldo was just discouraged that he couldn't get a rematch with McGregor. I do think he wanted one. I think that kind of set things going downhill for him.
He also said he was offered to fight Max Holloway or Anthony Pettis rather than McGregor. He says, I heard about everything that happened through my coach. He had spoken with Sean Shelby Saturday, and Sean still had no answer about anything and asked if I could fight on November 12th. My coach said that if it would be Connor, yes, and then Sean asked him if I would fight Max Holloway or Anthony Pettis. But he said, we waited until Dana publicly said that he wanted this fight with McGregor to happen, and then we expected it to happen. I'd get my rematch to unify the featherweight belts, or I'd have my belt fight back, my belt back and fight Holloway or Pettis, since Dana White said all the time that Connor couldn't keep both belts. But to my surprise, I heard last night about the fight between McGregor and Eddie Alvarez, which was also denied by Dana last week. And to make it worse, he would keep the featherweight belt and possibly having two belts at the same time. So, obviously he's pretty pissed off. And with good reason. I mean, they're dicking him around, and it's, to me, though, the interesting aspect of this whole story is that, you know, here is the second week in a row we're talking about a big-name fighter, even though Al's not that big of a name. You know, he hasn't had a title yet or anything like that. Aldo is a big name, not only in the United States, but in Brazil. The heart of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, obviously. So, for him to be talking like this, he's obviously kind of been a little bit outspoken and not afraid to speak his mind, especially with the Reebok deal and his situation with Venom being not allowed in the cage anymore. But, you know, here is a situation where, to me, the Fertitta's being out of the picture and all of a sudden fighters coming out of the woodwork to speak their minds is no coincidence. To me, I really believe, honestly believe, that the Fertitta's history in organized crime was very intimidating to fighters, because most of them knew about it. Everybody knew about it. Who knew anything about MMA knew that, hey, these guys come from a mob family, you know? So, you probably want to keep your mouth shut, is the mentality. And it's not necessarily just because they, you know, they are still in the mob or anything like that, but they have that mentality of running businesses, just ingrained in their whole business mentality. This is, you know, what they learned from their fathers and their fathers before them. So, to me, it's just, they're very telling that now that they're gone, all these fighters are starting to say, hey, we don't like what's going on. And that's almost to the point where you could talk, there could be a walkout at some point or a labor strike here. Because you already have these people in the background trying to get these unions started. Even though I don't think it's, you know, catching like wildfire, because a lot of these people still are, you know, willing to do whatever the boss says. But the fact that the Fertittas are out and Dana White is still in, I think has a lot of these fighters kind of pissed off, because a lot of them don't like him.
Yeah.
And they're not going to go out there and say it, but they don't like him. I'm sure, I'm positive almost, I'd have to say, that Conor McGregor is one of those people that doesn't like him, but just deals with him because he has to. He wouldn't have pulled that whole thing about retiring if he really liked Dana White. You know, so I think that was a bad move for them to keep Dana in the picture and in a position to cause more problems with these fighters who already don't like them. You know, put somebody in there who's had a fight, for God's sake. Make somebody president, like, who deserves it. That's my soapbox speech for the week. Anyway, so UFC 205 has Conor McGregor and Alvarez at the top. It's a pretty big deal. We got a co-main event of Stephen Thompson versus Tyron Woodley for Tyron's newly captured belt. And we've got Joanna Jędrzejczyk, 12-0 undefeated, fighting Carolina Kowalkiewicz, who's also undefeated, 10-0, so that should be a good matchup there. Finally going to see Joanna fight somebody new. Haven't seen that in a while. Then we got Chris Weidman, Also agreed recently to take a fight on this card, obviously from Madison, from New York, and it's at Madison Square Garden, so it's a big deal for him. He is going to fight another guy with only one loss, Yoel Romero, 11-1. Weidman comes in at 13-1, and Khabib Nurmagomedov. He's also been kind of talking a lot of smack lately about his bosses, coincidentally. He's on the card. Facing Michael Johnson, who was just fighting just a couple weeks ago. Less than that, I think. Just had a fight. Pretty crazy. But it was a quick one. Then we got Frankie Edgar, of course, another New Yorker from the Longo gym there. He is at 20-5 with one draw, fighting Jeremy Stevens, 25-12. That'd be a great matchup right there.
Yeah.
Kelvin Gastelum also on the card, 12-2. Fought a former guest of ours. Biggest name on his record. My buddy from Vegas there. And Kelvin's fighting Donald Cerrone, Cowboy Cerrone, 31-7. Yeah, the guy who's never looking for a fight, Donald Cerrone. You know, he'll pick up a fight every week if he could get one. and guess who's back for New York? Rashad Evans, 19-5-1, fighting Tim Kennedy in the sixth fight of the night, way down on the card. Tim is 18-5. And Miesha Tate also back in action. Fighting Raquel Pennington. Which would be a very interesting fight because both of them like to stand and bang when they get a chance. And Miesha has some very good boxing skills and so does Raquel. And Raquel just always seems to end up in a war lately, especially. So, pretty crazy stuff. And Jim Miller, just coming fresh right off his... rematch with Joe Lauzon. Did a great job there. He's in action as well. Jim Miller fighting Thiago Alves, 21-10. Jim is 27-8. And we got third fight of the night, Rafael Natal, 21-7, fighting Tim Boach, who's 19-10. And if that ain't enough, we got a couple decent fights to lead the fights off. Liz Carmouche in the second fight of the night. She's 10-5, fighting Caitlin Chukagian, who is 8-0. And first fight of the night, Lyman Good, 19-3, fighting Bilal Muhammad, who is 10-1.
Wow, what a stat card.
And I think it's better than UFC 200.
they've really done it. Well, it's New York. You know, introduction to Madison Square Garden. Wow. You know, Chris Weidman is certainly not looking for an easy way out. No. This is a very tough opponent for him.
Not at all. What's up with your buddy Roy Nelson kicking refs, Tom? What's going on there?
I understand the emotion, but referees are off limits. You know, he said, hey, him and Bigfoot have a friendship. And I don't think he wanted that fight in the first place, but they had to take it. And Bigfoot was in bad shape, but, you know, it was a judgment call. I don't think it was an outrageous stoppage, maybe compared to the main event. I don't think it was that far out of line, but, Roy just let his emotions get away. Dana White is not happy at all.
He said basically he should be buried. I don't know if that's a mob reference, but it's like, what the hell?
Well, you're in the mob kick tonight, yeah. Rich. You've been watching some old Godfather movies? Or
No, but he did say
Goodfellas, or what have you been watching here?
I've been watching, actually, Breaking Bad. I watched my buddy get the DVD collection.
Should have been warned. That's very addictive. That
yes,
show.
I guess there's a reason why it was so famous. So, Walter White is quite the character.
Yeah.
Good old Walter. Anyway, we had the big UFC Fight Night 95 as well over the weekend, Saturday night. That was a pretty big deal for Cyborg. She got another knockout, TKO, over Lena Landsberg. Just took her 229 into the second round.
Did you see that fight?
I did not. I fell asleep right before the Roy Nelson fight, believe it or not. So,
whoa.
I've been slacking.
Okay.
Slacking.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting softened. I found myself yelling at the referee in the main event. Due to the fact Lena had shown no ability to hurt Cyborg, to get her attention at all. It was like throwing rocks at an oncoming train. And when she was mounted, there was no way in the world she was going to get out. She was a bloody mess, and Cyborg was just throwing those bombs at her. And I thought that stoppage was a little late. That's why I was going to ask if you agreed with that. You have to wait till you see it. But I just thought it could have been stopped a little sooner.
Yeah, it's just big time slacking on the fight watch. And usually, if I don't see it live, I will find it online and watch it. But I haven't even been doing that lately.
Yeah.
It is firewood.
Well, I think you can find some highlights at the end of it, but you see what you think.
Yeah, I will definitely check it out.
And you know, I have something to say about that, too, that, you know, when women would lose to Ronda, they would usually say, well, I made a mistake, or it was a technical issue or something. But they all seem to want a rematch with Ronda Rousey. I have yet to hear one of these girls been on the receiving end of Cyborg say, oh, I can't wait to do this again. It's almost like Mike Tyson in the 80s when, you know, you get those hour-long Tyson's greatest hits. And, you know, he gets those like 1 minute and 2 minute, not just knockouts, but clinical just destructions. You ever heard those guys get up and say, I want a rematch with Tyson. I just got caught. It was a fluke. The guy didn't really hit that hard. You know, I just had a bad night. No, I never heard anyone talk like that. And that, I'm not, it's this, kind of the same thing with Cyborg. None of these women have said, oh, well, it was just an off night. No. So Ronda apparently is making some noise about wanting to fight her, but that weight problem is going to be a big one. Of course, maybe if the money's right, they will.
Well, Ronda's supposedly coming back. She's going to get an immediate immediate shot at the belt, too. But I don't know. I'm still not convinced that she's in it for the long haul. I think she's going to end up going the way of Gina Carano before she even gets to fight Cyborg.
Yeah. And coincidentally, what was Gina's last fight, Rich? Do you remember that?
Cyborg.
Thank you.
Retired.
Point taken.
Retired. And, of course, we got another UFC match this weekend, but how about some boxing? I'm sure Tony's over there saying. Can we talk some boxing, please? All right. So, is Tony still with us?
I am still with you.
All right. We had to check there. We got some fights coming up all over the world this week. Russia, Spain, you name it. There's fights. Spain, we got a main event. Kerman Lejarraga. He is 16-0 at welterweight, fighting Georgi Ungiadze. He's 37 wins and 30 losses. It's his record. That's the main event there in some palace in Spain. Crazy stuff. All right, so that's Friday. And the big boxing matches over the week. Jorge Linares took out Anthony Crolla, another big UK fighter. I'm pretty sure I read something about him being pretty banged up, too. I think he's got a busted eye socket or something like that.
Ooh, wow.
Just had a bad night overall. All around. Let's just check this real quick. And we also had another fight. Ivan Cano. I don't know, for some reason they got him on the front page of BoxRec, because this was a big deal. Got a big win over Diego Cruz, 17-3-1 was his record. Ivan beat him by a split decision. He goes to 23-7-2. I don't know why BoxRec's telling me that's so important. But Anthony, he falls to 31-5-3. It was a unanimous decision loss. It was in his home arena there in Lancashire, UK, for the WBA World Lightweight title. And Jorge schooled him. Schooled him pretty good. And I did not see it. But I know we got some big fights coming up on Saturday here. Do the schedule. Let's see. Probably got some Friday that I didn't mention either. Yeah. Oh, how about this guy's record? Only in the United Kingdom you find people like this. Oh, I can't even pronounce the guy's name. I'm not even going to try. Okay. Guy who's fighting Dex Spellman, who's 8-0. His record is 20-67 with 5 draws. And that's not even the worst record on the card. Way down, some guy in his pro debut, Lewis Claridge. He's fighting a guy named Ibrar Riaz. His record is 4 wins, 4 draws, and 106 losses.
Wow. Well, you'll get it next time, kid. Yeah. I just have to check after each loss. Oh, Jesus.
And out in California, we got a real fight going on. Golden Boy Promotions has a pretty decent card. Well, at least decent main events, anyway. Michael Perez, 24-1-2 at lightweight, fighting Peter Petrov, who's 37-4-2 in the main event there. And then nothing really special for any of the other fights. Golden Boy slipping, I guess. And blast from the past. Mike Lee will be fighting in Chicago, Illinois tomorrow night. 17-0 at light heavyweight. Fighting Chris Trietti, who's 21-3. I believe he's from the New England area. It's for the vacant USBA light heavyweight title. And we got the co-main event there is Atlantis Fox, 20 wins, 1 draw, no losses. Fighting Ronald Montez, who's 17-3. And if that's not enough for you, we got Ed Brown, 18-0 at welterweight, fighting Roberto Acevedo, who's 13-16-3. See, that's the difference between a United States opponent and a United Kingdom opponent. Okay, it's obvious who's going to win this one, but it's not that obvious. And we got a couple titles on the line out in Vegas. Where else? This one's going to be on CBS Sports Network tomorrow night. Roy Jones Jr., former guest of ours, involved in this card. Juan Antonio Lopez in the main event is 11-1 at bantamweight, fighting Stephen Young, who's 14-0-3. That's for the vacant WBA, NABA bantamweight title. And that has nothing to do with basketball. Hansel Martinez also on the card. He is 23-2, fighting Eric Ruiz, who is 15-5-1. That's for the vacant WBA International Super Bantamweight title. John Vera, also on the card, super welterweight, undefeated at 14-0, fighting Milorad Zizek, who is 12-1. And that one's for the WBA NABA USA Super Welterweight title. Can I get an A? That's it for that card. And we get into Saturday. Now, there is a perfect opportunity, or a perfect example of the Latino title here actually being applied appropriately. Although this guy might be Italian. I don't know, Tony. Elias Quivici.
same player.
Elias Quivici. He is 13-3-1 fighting Ricardo Ruben Villalba for the WBO Latino Super Welterweight title. So somebody's getting the Latino belt there. That's in Argentina too. So on my birthday, October 1st. Ooh. We got a. How about this? How about fighting for the Australia Queensland State Super Welterweight title, and your record is 0-5.
Wow.
Zach Bennett going up against Adrian Rodriguez, who is 4-0-1 for the Super Welterweight.
Okay, what is this belt, Rich?
The Australia Queensland State Super Welterweight title.
Big That's deal. Quite a title.
It's a big deal.
Wow. Well, at least he has five fights experience.
Right.
And better than 0-0. What was it? Pete Rademacher, pro debut or something?
Yeah, 0-0 first pro fight. They said knock him.
Yeah. We got Adam Lovelock at cruiserweight in the co-main event there in Queensland. He's 11-6 at cruiserweight. He's fighting a guy named Benjamin Kelleher, who has one fight, one win. That's it. 11-6 versus 1-0. Good luck. 1-0 guy. Then we got a fight in Ontario on Saturday. Stephen Wilcox at Super Welterweight, 14-1-1, fighting at Jesus. This is a Jesus fight of the week. Jesus Singwancha. He's 21-9, and Jesus is fighting for a belt. The vacant WBA, NABA, super lightweight title. So, good luck, Jesus, in that one. Steven versus Jesus. Then we go to Germany. I don't even want to try to pronounce the towns and counties here involved, but it's Germany. Main event for the WBA World Light Heavyweight title, Jürgen Brammer. 48-2 in light heavyweight, fighting Nathan Cleverley, the UK star, who is 29-3. Co-main event, also for a light heavyweight belt, the WBA Intercontinental Light Heavyweight title. Enrico Kohling, 21-1, fighting Rhino Liebenberg, who is 17-3. And we got a super middleweight bout between Vincent Fagenbuch, who is 23-2, and Guillermo Ruben Andino, who is 10-1. With a name like Fagan Boots, I can tell why he became a boxer.
Yeah, right.
How many times did he get made fun of in school?
I've heard worse, but yeah, that definitely would be in that category.
Yeah. We got a couple undefeated guys. Paul Drago. 9-0-1, fighting Arthur.
Do any relation to Ogden?
Maybe. Arthur Mann is his opponent at 7-0. Cruiserweight fight there. Let's see what else we got. We got a Japanese super bantamweight title on the line. And where else but Tokyo? Yasutaka Ishimoto. 28-8, fighting Gakuya Furuhashi, who is 18-7-1. And then we got a co-main event there of Akifumi Shimoda, who is 35-1, 30 wins, 5 losses, 2 draws. I said 1, I meant 2. At featherweight, fighting Gadwin Tubagon, who is 14-11-2 there. And we got a female title on the line down in Mexico on Saturday. A couple interesting bouts in Mexico to talk about. Jessica Chavez here, fighting Naoko Fujioka. Jessica is 27-4-3. Fujioka is 15-1. That's for the WBC World Female Flyweight title. Alejandro Davila is also on the card. He's 14-0-1, fighting Jose Lopez, who is 26-5-2. Tough match there. And then Aaron Alameda, 16-0, fighting Rafael Reyes, who is 18-6. And then, just in case you thought he retired, Humberto Soto is back in action in Sinaloa, Mexico. Most known for their cartels, I think, aren't they? Sinaloa. Humberto is 65-9-2, fighting Daniel Ruiz, who is 34-9-2. So, almost identical records, except Humberto has 30 more wins. Not bad. And then a real fight down in the Australian area, but in New Zealand, going on. Joseph Parker fighting for the Oriental Heavyweight title. That's too funny. 20-0 at heavyweight, fighting Alexander Dimitrenko, who is 38-2. And none of these guys have lost any time recently. then we got another heavyweight title. This is a brand new, I never heard of this one. All right, now this is for the vacant IBF Mediterranean heavyweight title. Izuagbe Ugono. Tough name. 16-0 at heavyweight, fighting Gregory Tony, who is 21-6. I don't know if he's related to James Tony. I don't think so, because it's spelled differently. But, yeah, Mediterranean heavyweight title. And we got Bowen Morgan, who is 7-1, fighting Gunnar Jackson, 25-8-3 at super welterweight. Best fights on that card. And big female fight going on in Norway, which I believe just allowed boxing for the first time. Didn't we have a story about that earlier this year? They just allowed female boxing or something? I don't know, something like that. They just allowed it to come back. Well, this is a big unification fight here. Cecilia Breakhus, 28-0 at welterweight, fighting Anne-Sophie Mathis, 27-3-1. And she's had some ups and downs lately, but this one's for a long list of titles. The WBC World Female Welterweight title, the WBA World Female Welterweight title, the IBF World Female Welterweight title, WBO World Female Welterweight title, and the International Boxing Organization World Female Welterweight title. So, lots of titles. Up for grabs in Norway. Wow. This one's not even worth mentioning, except for the guy's name. Alright, there's a fight going on in the Philippines. Main event is Carl James Martin, 2-0 at super flyweight, fighting Manny Mamakiao, who's 1-8-1. Mamakiao. Manny Mamakiao. How the heck did he get that name? I don't even know. I don't even want to know. Alright. I'm going to wrap up the boxing list here in a minute. What else we got? I got to be missing one big card somewhere. Oh, here's one worth mentioning. I suppose you could say this is the mismatch of the week. From Lancashire, United Kingdom. It's just in the middle of the card here. Adam Haig coming in at 8-0 at super lightweight, fighting Matt Seawright, who has 5 wins, 5 draws. Again, same in those areas, but 139 losses.
You know, every week we hear one like that, I'm just out of words. What the hell can you say to someone like that? Why are you still doing this? Wow.
Because I enjoy the competition.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to see some. Yeah. I mean, when you lose 139 times, there's not a lot of competition there, you know? Well, I mean, I don't fighter bash for sure, but I mean, at some point, you got to start thinking about your health, I think. I can't even imagine that.
And it was Trenton, New Jersey fights going on Saturday as well. Chaz Witherspoon in the main event, 35-3, fighting Carlos Sandoval, 9-10-1. And a former guest.
Still haven't seen Chaz in a long time.
Yeah, he's been kind of out of the picture there for a little while. But I love that the promoter's name on this is Boss Lady Promotions, LLC.
I love it.
Co-main event here is a former guest of ours, Tommy Rinone. He is 25-7-1, fighting Engelberto Valenzuela, who is 10-8-0. 10-8, basically. Not too shabby there. And then Alicia Ashley will also be fighting on Saturday in Flint, Michigan. She is fighting for, I believe, like, it's got to be her title because it's TBA. She's fighting TBA. Watch out, Alicia. TBA will get you. She is, Alicia is 23-10-1 at Super Bantamweight, fighting for the WBC World Female Super Bantamweight title, which must be hers because it's not vacant and she's fighting for it. See? I am an investigative reporter. I'll figure that out in a minute. All right. I think that's about it. Yeah, that does it for the big fights this week in boxing. We also still have to go over UFC Fight Night 95. Talked about the other two fights, but not the rest of them. We do have UFC Fight Night 96 coming up on Saturday from Portland, Oregon. John Lineker versus John Dodson. John versus John in the main event. 28-7 is Lineker. 18-7 is Dodson. Dodson probably most known for his quickness and his backflips.
Yeah, that'll be some fireworks. I'm going with Lineker in that one.
Lineker just hits like a monster. He's so small. But he hits people, and it's just like, whoa, where did that come from? He kind of reminds me a little of Jack Dempsey. His on the feet, punching style. Dodson, he throws a lot of punches, volume, quickness, but it's just, there's no power. You got to have power, buddy.
Right. So And Lineker, when he lands, it's just different.
Yeah.
So that's who my money's on.
Now, I'm going to steal a line from Tom on this one, the co-main event, because Will Brooks is not getting a cheap date in his debut for the UFC. He is 18-1 fighting Alex Oliveira, who is 14-4-1. He is the Brazilian cowboy. It's Cowboy Cerrone and Cowboy Oliveira. So, of course, Sure Dog's got him picture with a cowboy hat on. The Coco main event, the 10th fight of the night. They don't even have a picture for the guy fighting. Brandon Moreno. They don't even have a picture on Sure Dog. You're in the UFC. You're in the main card. You don't even have a picture. 11-3 is his record, fighting Luis Smolka, who's 11-1. Also back in action. Hasn't been around for a while. Josh Berkman. 28-13, fighting Zach Ottow, who is 13-3. Then we got Luis Henrique da Silva, still undefeated at 11-0, fighting Joaquim Christensen, who's 13-3. He's got a black and white picture, but he's at least got a picture. Andre Feely, also in action, fighting Hakran Diaz. Feely is 15-4, Hakran is 23-4-1. I believe he came through the Ultimate Fighter. I think I saw him there. In the ATT versus Black Zillions season. That's where we saw him first. And we got Walt Harris in the sixth fight of the night, 8-4, fighting Shamil Abdurakhimov, who is 16-3. And Japanese fighter Kita Nakamura. In the fifth fight of the night, what a record he's got. 32-7-2 is his record. A lot of fights. over 40. He should be fighting in the over 40 fight division. He is fighting Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos, who's 15-5. Nate Marquardt back in action. He is 34-16-2, fighting Tandon the Barn Cat McCrory. He is 14-4. Then we got Jonathan Wilson, 7-1, fighting Ion Kutalaba, who is 11-2. Second fight of the night, Curtis Blades, 5-1, fighting Cody East, 12-2. And first fight of the night will be a female fight, Kelly Fazholtz, who is 33-1, fighting Ketlin Vieira, who is 6-0. And how about the UFC, marketing-wise? Cyborg versus Landsberg. Same two last letters, RG. The main event. That's pretty good. But anyway, Landsberg comes in at 6-2 to fight this monster. I don't even know how that matchmaking makes sense. In the main event, nonetheless. But no surprise.
Well, supposedly Lena had a very strong Muay Thai background.
Yeah.
But it just didn't matter. I mean, it was almost like one of those man-boy fights. I guess in this case it would be a woman-girl fight. And no disrespect to Lena. I mean, she did everything she could do. Showed a lot of class, a lot of bravery, but she just was overmatched.
Well, you know, she hasn't taken steroids half her life. Who said that?
No. Well, supposedly, Cyborg's tested, and she hasn't done anything since, what, 2011?
Right.
But you really got me thinking about that, is she a man? Because, as I've said, that endocrine system is very fine-tuned.
Yes.
And you wonder if some of these lingering effects are still there.
The co-main event, Hanan Barao, gained some credibility by taking out Philippe Nover by unanimous decision. Pretty much dominated that fight from what I've read. Did not see that one. And then,
yeah, he did.
You know, it was just better stylistically, I'm pretty sure. But Hanan is the type of guy that he built his record up on. Not huge names, you know, but had a lot of fights, so he had a lot of hype, and he just got tested, and he failed, you know, so now he's trying to build himself back up again, and, you know, a lot of people thought if he lost this fight, he might get thrown out of the UFC, but you talk about going from hero to zero for a little while. He had a rough stretch. Then what probably should have been the co-main event, Roy Nelson versus Antonio Silva. Didn't last very long. 4-10 into the second round. Roy took out his good buddy Antonio Silva before he took him out for a beer later. I don't know. Maybe he had.
Silva gave it a battle in the first round.
Yeah.
But eventually Roy's right hand got to him.
And Roy was due for a big win like that. So good for him. We also had Francisco Trinaldo taking out Paul Felder by doctor stoppage in the third round, 225 into that one.
Yeah, Felder really wanted to keep going. I felt bad for him. That guy's just a fighter.
Right. And actually, it was this fight I fell asleep after, Eric Spicely versus Thiago Santos. And this was the second rear naked choke in a row in the first round. And it was probably the prettiest one because it was a brutal fight up until that point.
And what an upset that was. Boy, you got to be happy for Eric.
Yeah, Eric just slapped it on. And they were going out there to kill each other. Like, they both came out there with, like, fight-ending moves. I think one guy kicked. And
yeah, it was...
It was
brutal.
Like fireworks right off the bat, and then suddenly Eric ends up with the rear naked choke, and that's it. And then the fight before that took a little bit longer, but Godofredo Castro slipped the rear naked choke on Mike De La Torre. And then we had a bunch of unanimous decisions. Michael Prezeris over Gilbert Burns. Ronnie Yaya versus Michinori Tanaka. Got the win, Ronnie. Jussie Da Silva beat Dustin Ortiz by unanimous decision. And they go to the fight that I started watching on. Eric Silva versus Luan Chagas. And that one took a while. And Eric fighting in front of his hometown fans in Brazil, really wanting that win really bad, but it went down to the third round, and he had to get the choke.
Yeah, that was a give and take fight for sure.
Yeah, Chagas, he spent a lot of time on the ground in bad positions, but you know, you could have argued if he'd won the third round, he could have won the fight. So Eric sort of needed that at that time and got it. 3:57 into the third round, slipped on that rear naked choke. It was very slick about it too, because he had tried it before and just couldn't get it, but got it that time. And we had third fight of the night: Alan Patrick Silva Alves over Stephen Ray by unanimous decision. Second fight of the night, Vicente Luque beat Hector Urbina by knockout. First round, 1 minute into that one. And first fight of the night ended in a unanimous decision for Gregor Gillespie over Glico Franca. And that's about it for the mixed martial arts stuff. Up, or I don't know if we got a Bellator card this weekend or not. Well, let me see. I know I got some news saved up. Have to be some news. Come on, Gmail. Give me some news. Cooperating with me. By the way, Tom, I did read your article. I know I haven't been responding a lot to your emails, but I do read your links. So, yeah, it was pretty good stuff on the evolution of MMA. Oh, the of course, we can't forget big boxing story. I'm sure Tom sent it to you, Tony, too. What has happened to Premier Boxing Champions?
I saw it. I didn't get a chance to read it.
Yeah. Well, leave it to Dan Raphael to figure out, hey, you know, this stuff has been slowing down quite a bit. All of a sudden, we don't see all the networks doing all the shows. I think he did forget about Fox Sports 1. because he mentioned that there's only one fight card left this year. For Premier Boxing Champions, but FS1 does one every week for Premier Boxing Champions Tuesday night fights. So, I mean, I don't understand how he missed that, but apparently he did. He says there is but one single card on the schedule, and it has nothing to get excited about. And it has nothing to get excited about. It's a week show on September 27th in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on FS1. Headlined by Bryant Perella against Yordynis Yugas. And that, actually, I did see that one, too. Bryant got demolished. I did watch that. Gotta give me credit. I watched that the other night. I watched boxing, guys. It's a very rare opportunity. No, I did watch the Gennady Golovkin fight, too. Even though it was overseas, I got to watch a little bit of that. But yeah, I just happened to be flipping through the channels the other night and caught Bryant Perella getting smacked around by Yugas. And I gotta tell you, Yordynis Yugas has one of the best defensive stances I've seen in a long time. Maybe it was just because Perella was so overmatched, but I mean, talk about tight defense. I don't think Bryant hit him more than a couple times.
You know what? I mean, that's why it's like I was turning it on just as they were doing the intros. And it's like, hey, you got the undefeated kid, 14-0, 13 knockout. And as soon as the fight started, I'm like, he doesn't look that impressive. It's like it was like lunging with his jab and he was going straight back. 45 seconds into it, he's on his ass. And that was probably the highlight of his night.
Yeah.
Because Ugas put something on him bad.
So anyway, Raphael says, once upon a time, there were often multiple PBC cards per week populated by name fighters. Heyman spends his investors $5 million lavishly as though it would never run out. Now it is plainly clear that the war chest has been badly depleted, even though PBC officials are loath to talk about it. And he claims he regularly examines purse payout sheets from the commissions, and fighter purses have dropped substantially. Now that right there... It's like the smoking gun, okay, of this company's in trouble. Because if you're noticing a substantial drop in fighter purses, that's your bottom line. I mean, obviously, if the fighters aren't getting paid what they used to be, then there's no money to buy from the networks anymore because that's where the big money comes in. So if you can't buy time from the networks and they're not going to buy time from you and, you know, flip the script on you like you were hoping, this could be it. You know, this whole thing could fold and Bob Arum and Golden Boy will have a party to celebrate because they've been complaining about it for a long time. But, you know, it could be one and done, you know, one big effort and a flop because there's been a lot of talk. I mean, I mentioned all the different stuff that's been whipped around about this and just the fact that the way it was started was kind of like stolen money. You know, they're driving the car like they stole it because they did. They basically hijacked this guy right out of the, you know, financial company, investment company, and they make him the co-CEO, whatever the hell they gave him the position, of PBC. And, you know, all that company's money, Waddell and Reed, is thrown into Al Heyman. And a lot of investors were pissed about it. So, I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes, but apparently, you know, it's starting to affect the bottom line of the fighter. So, what's the other thing he adds is, Dan Raphael here in the article, is the production costs have also been slashed, which is why the huge stage in both the blue and red fighter holding areas are gone. Costs a lot to truck that stuff around the country, he says. Other bells and whistles have also been eliminated to save money. And less money being thrown around means less quality of fights. So,
Well, what about the cameras on the referee's head? You remember that?
Yeah.
I guess that's cold, too. But I did notice ESPN was doing another card, another boxing card that's not PBC. I did see something about that recently, so I was wondering if that was like, if that was a sign that PBC is dying out and ESPN is getting out of that contract. But Dan Raphael points out that last year ESPN aired big-time fights such as Leo Santa Cruz against Abner Mares at Staples Center and Keith Thurman versus Danny Garcia. Those fights cost millions, but this summer ESPN got Sergey Lipinets against Walter Castillo in a quiet casino in a main event that cost a tiny fraction of the previous year's main events. Now, Showtime, which actually pays, they're the one company that pays for their fights, they have some fall PBC cards planned, but there are only two more slated for Spike, none until November 12th, and those networks figure to have some of the better names and higher level fights. However, he says, one outlet that has the most significant PBC fights is NBC, which said Wednesday that it will not televise any other cards this year, either on the main network or its NBCSN cable network. And several dates for the remainder of the year have been canceled, according to, including two December primetime NBC cards and at least three NBCSN cards.
Now, did they say why?
An NBC spokesman told Dan Raphael, "We are working with the PBC folks to move remaining shows to better dates in the first 2 to 3 months of 2017. Which may not be that big of a red flag because, you know, you got to consider this is football season right now. You know, first 2 to 3 months of 2017, you're getting into playoff time. So there's less games to interfere with weekend shows. But, yeah. It's also kind of an indicative of, you know, we don't want to spend any more. We don't want to have you buy any of our time this year. Or maybe PBC can't afford any more time this year.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
And FS1 and Bounce TV are prospect-oriented, says Raphael, or lower-level fighters. So there's few outlets left this year for the top PBC fighters. No more ESPN cards this year. And none for Fox or CBS main networks. And he lists all the fighters who have fought only once this year and need a bout. Daniel Jacobs, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, Adonis Stevenson, Andre Berto, though he may be in jail. Bowling issue, Jermell Charlo, Julian Williams, Arislandi Lara, Vaines Matarosian, James DeGale, Badu Jack, Anthony Durrell, Andre Durrell, Austin Trout, Adrian Broner, Frances Bartholomew, Gary Russell Jr., John Molina Jr., Dejan Zlatacannon, Jose Pedraza, Edna Cherry, and Lee Selby, to name a few. And a couple haven't fought at all this year. Peter Quillen, Devin Alexander, Lamont Peterson, Jesus Queller, and Abner Morris. So. But anyway. Of course, they do use football as an excuse, too. A guy named Tim Smith, a PBC spokesman, said most people in TV sports programming stay away from trying to counter-program college football, the NFL, MLB playoffs, and the start of the NBA season in October and November. PBC is a TV boxing series, and as such, it's mindful of the sports programming around it, and it wants to maximize potential viewership among sports fans. In other words, we broke! We can't afford to pay that shit anymore. And speaking of football, beautiful transition here. Timothy Bradley is a coach now for high school football because his son is involved with the team as a linebacker. And so the Los Angeles Times had a big story. He's now the defensive backs coach at La Quinta High School, a program that has 10 league titles and 3 consecutive semifinal playoff berths in the coach's 22 years on the job. Dan Armstrong. Of course, Bradley's still an active fighter. But supposedly he's told the coach, I'd like to help out. I'll be a water boy. I'll carry equipment. I just want to get involved because when I'm not training for a fight, I'm bored to death. So he has a stepson on the team, Robert, who is a junior backup linebacker. He says he didn't play football, but he has insight from the highest level about what it takes to be prepared. So they're having kind of a rough season this week, or this year. They were 2-2 when this story was written, or they were trying to even their record at 2-2. He says Coach Bradley and Boxer Bradley sometimes cross. He says, I use boxing terms all the time, and they be looking at me like, huh? I told the quarterback, you got to learn how to feint. He's like, feint? I showed him. Look him off, then run up the field. You got to do it right every time. Now he feints. That's how the story ended. And there's all the Tyson Fury stuff we already talked about. Potential 4-year ban for him. And we'll get into last week's stuff, so that's about it. Unless you guys got anything else to add, I think that's wrap for us.
I sent you guys a photo.
A photo?
A photo.
Just now? Oh.
I sent you an email with a photograph.
Okay. Let me check it out.
Yeah.
8:52. another tattoo, or is it the finishing touches on the old one?
It's the one I started to.
Oh, the tornado.
Yeah.
That's still in progress.
Yeah, just progress. And then he's gonna do the funnel in 2 weeks.
Whoa. That looks like it must be painful, Tony.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, the first session stung a lot. Yeah. And, you know, I was glad that he only limited me to 4 hours this time, because he said, even you can't do 9 hours straight like you did on your chest. He goes, not on your ribs. You can't do it on your ribs. He goes, remember how much the end of last one hurt? And I said, yeah. He goes, that's going to be the start of this one. And for the first session, he did not lie. Definitely the most painful one. And but before, in between session one and session two, you know, because sleeping was a little bit uncomfortable, and I think I turned the wrong way and pulled a muscle in my rib cage, the very rib cage he's working on. So I took a few Advil before I went in there, and I actually dozed off during the session.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, there's a breaking news story. Just got my Google updates. Gabriel Gonzaga is another guy who's wanting to retire if he doesn't get a six-figure offer. Yeah, that's pretty much owning your nickname there, Tony, getting that tornado on you.
Yeah, I think we like that.
Yeah. And I'm gonna be seeing one of the subjects, your other tattoo, the my favorite dog up there in Maine this weekend.
The what? Are you gonna see dog this weekend?
Bronson. At the had the house dog here, Roxy. I was afraid she was going to bite me earlier when Tom said Mike Tyson. She does a good Mike Tyson impersonation. She bites your ear when you tell her to do the Mike Tyson. Yeah, we're going to see Bronson this weekend. His pond has gone down quite a bit up there. He can barely swim in it. It's the drought so bad up there. Poor guy. So that's about it for us, I guess. So let me check a couple Google alerts, see if we got any other stuff worth talking about. Irish boxers Michael Conlon and Stephen Donnelly reprimanded for betting at the Rio 2016 Olympics. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention Tommy Morrison's son got a big win. Talked about
that
fight card last week.
And that was cool. He was wearing his father's trunks.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So, Layla Ali in the news. Unless she's just going to give a talk somewhere. Oh, I don't know if we mentioned this last week, but Floyd Mayweather has officially called off any chance of a Conor McGregor fight. So that's finally over. Woohoo! So can put all that to rest. That's about it. Till next week, guys.
Ken.
Adios. Amigos.
All right, guys. Enjoy the fights. And I'll still release the baby.
Thanks for stopping by.